new from the Big Apple. It's What's on Joe Mind, coverage of Toy Fair 2013. And now, your hosts, Justin and Gary.
Welcome to special edition number 24, What's on Joe Mind. We're a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe, and tonight is Hasbro Toy Fair 2013 coverage, specifically the G.I. Joe presentation. Joining me in the palatial studios of the courtyard by Marriott Times Square South is the admin of GeneralJoe.com, Justin.
Hey, how's it going?
Also joining us as a special guest commentator, never short of opinion. Normally never is, really. It's John Gumbelunisius. That's what Mike says his name is, but we call him P-Love. P-Love, thanks for joining us, man.
Hi, thanks for letting me tag along.
No problem.
He's our truck replacement for the night.
Wow.
No, I like Sideshow Zartan figure.
Oh, yeah. So there's three key areas we want to talk about tonight. First would be the Creos. Second will be the figures. And third, obviously, would be the Eagle Hawk or Tomahawk re-release. So we'll jump right on into the Creos. Justin, talk about what we saw with the Creos.
Yep, they've posted, and there's no images online as of this recording because their PR firm hasn't sent out the actual press images yet, and they did not have Wave 2 down on the showroom floor to take pictures of. But Wave 2, for the Creos, they showed off Blowtorch, Dr. Mindbender, the Land Adventurer, a bat who looked like he had removable attachments, was pretty cool. Flash, Major Blood, who looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Slice, some chumpy Arctic trooper, I don't know.
Snowjob. Yes.
Snowjob. Ripper, Tunnel Rat, Mutt, and a Cobra Eel. And those were all going to be in Wave 2 of the Creon figure sets. And one interesting little detail that Hasbro kind of told us about today was that apparently Richard Woodhouse is one of the key designers of the Creo line, who most Joe fans know as one of the lead designers for G.I. Joe over the years, which is pretty cool.
The one thing you mentioned about Richard Woodhouse was that they initially looked at it and said they wanted to maybe build off some of the other lines, and Richard was the one that said, no, we're going to build this from the ground up, and it really shows.
Definitely, yeah. And they were talking specifically of the Creon figures themselves. They do use a lot of the rehashed stuff for the build sets, but for the Creons, they actually went down and basically scratch-built most of them from the ground up based on Richard's advice, which was good.
And I guess in the words from Daryl when he was up on stage, and we do have a complete audio of the presentation. They allowed us to take audio. It shows a commitment from Toys R Us to go forward on Wave 2.
Yep.
And the nice thing is, Justin, this isn't it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's a lot more to it. There's not just the Wave 2 Creons, but also there's some additional build sets. There's a Ghost Striker and Asp, which comes with Ace and a Cobra Trooper.
And everyone loves Asp.
Yep, everyone loves Asp. I need to get me a little Asp sooner rather than later.
I can't wait to grab some Asp.
Who doesn't?
Couple handfuls, one for each hand, one Asp in each hand. The Arashikagi Dojo is
a big
playset that they're going to come out with. That's obviously focused around the whole ninja theme, but it's got some great other accessories with it. It comes with a Cobra Hiss, which looks very authentic to the toy version, the sloped armor and everything.
Was that working treads?
I didn't notice if it was working treads. I'm hoping once they send the press images
we'll get a better look at that.
It was good enough on the picture that we saw that it could be
passable for working treads.
Comes with a Baroness Creon figure. Comes with a Vac Metal Destro. His head is Vac Metal Destro figure. Comes with Timber. Comes with a few Cobra Ninjas.
A lot of Creons.
Yeah, there's a lot of Creons in that Arashikagi Dojo set. It looked really cool. I will say I've been pretty lukewarm on the Creon and Creo idea since it was revealed. I didn't really have a whole lot of use for them, but really getting down and seeing them close up, they were pretty neat. And I find myself probably I'll be getting some of those. So.
The impression I got is they're pretty proud of that. I'm pretty proud of the Creons.
Definitely.
And the Creos for Joe. Even going in so far as the whole presentation, they re-released more from other lines, but it's like, the Joes were tend to have a lot of people looking at them on the shelves, as well as the Star Trek stuff, but that's for another podcast for another time.
But yeah, the second waves that we saw, the later waves that we saw in the Transformers and the G.I. Joe showed that, you know, there's some definitely some ingenuity going on and some really cool stuff coming out.
All right, going on to the figures. A lot have we seen, some we haven't seen. Some explanations in the distribution of waves are in the offering here. So, Justin, go ahead and pick up where what we think is Wave 3 is not Wave 3.
Yeah, it caused a little confusion during the actual presentation because Daryl DePriest put up a slide that just said Wave 3 and had a group of figures that looked familiar to all of us that we had seen at JoeCon last year. But then he mentioned there's going to be 7 new figures in Wave 3, which is kind of crazy because there's already about 4 or 5 figures in Wave 3, so that makes for one huge wave. But and what we kind of think is Wave 3 now, according to Daryl from the showroom floor, is not necessarily Wave 3. It's kind of a filler wave. He did use the moniker Wave 2.5. I wouldn't take that to be gospel or anything. He just kind of, that was a terminology that he used. And that's the wave that currently is shipping that has Joe Colton and Lady J, Dark Ninja, Alley Viper. What other? Is there another one in there? I don't know.
A Cyber Ninja.
Oh, is Cyber Ninja in there? Okay. Those 5 figures are kind of considered a filler wave, a Wave 2.5, so to speak. And they're not the true Wave 3. The true Wave 3 is going to hit in May of 2013. And it's going to have basically a lot of the figures that we saw in at JoeCon, which was that was kind of first. It was a little confusion there too because we thought there were certain figures in Wave 3 that didn't turn out to be that way. So what they showed us for Wave 3 today was the Crimson Guard, the Combat Ninja Trooper, you know, the Cobra Combat Ninja, who basically is the movie accurate Cobra Trooper, the Ultimate Movie Duke, the Ultimate Movie Firefly. Those were, I believe, were the 4 that they showed in the slide. Again, once the press images kind of hit, we might be able to elaborate on that a little bit. But and then they added the new figures to it, and the new figures they added were the Ultimate Movie Flint and Ultimate Movie Roadblock were both figures that we kind of saw real quick.
Yeah, they admitted that was a mistake to put them in the case at JoeCon. Yep. Whoops. Well, the watchful eye and camera of one Justin Bell managed to capture them, so he got those for...
Well, I got to give credit to some other folks for that. I think Kenny actually grabbed the images of that, and he just forwarded on to me, so that was full credit to him. Another figure that kind of took some people by surprise was Budo. Very, very kind of feudal Japan samurai-looking guy with deer antlers. Totally wacky martial arts-looking figure. Really wouldn't necessarily fit within the scope of a G.I. Joe line, except when you see figures like Blind Master that's obviously very martial arts-oriented. He does actually fit in with that kind of theme a little bit. He looks very cool. Nice red armor. Very nicely detailed.
There is a Microforce version of him. So if anyone has the Microforce Samurai that has the antlers on, grow it up, and that's basically what Budo looks like. There's like a ton of detail on him, really.
Yeah,
so.
That's one of the ones I can't wait for Hasbro's press pictures to come out, because I don't think you're going to see anything from the fan sites that shows the good detail on it. Yeah. Not just sculpting, but the paint detail on it, too.
Definitely.
It's really tight.
They also revealed an Ultimate Storm Shadow, Sunbow-inspired, a very vintage, classic-looking Storm Shadow with bare sleeves. Yep, exactly. That was kind of the main selling point of him. Sorry about that.
Smoker's gone.
Yeah. An Ultimate Cobra Commander, also very Sunbow-inspired. I'm sure a lot of people remember the Cobra Commander that was in the concept case last year. That was the zombie Cobra Commander that was almost perfect, except for the whole zombie portion of it. Well, they
That's
kind
horrible.
Of... took the tooling from that and did up an Ultimate Sunbow, Ultimate Classic version of Cobra Commander that looks really cool. And both Storm Shadow and Cobra Commander come with these really neat vehicle backpacks. You know, Storm Shadow's is based very strongly off of the Cobra Claw, and Cobra Commander looks like a fang. It's got, you know, the unique little missiles.
Kind of reminds of the Annihilator backpack a little bit, kind
of. Yeah, they're both kind of really cool kid touches, yeah. And of course, the last 2 figures revealed for Wave 3 that got a huge cheer from Gary Godso over here, I think took some people by surprise, was Data Viper and Quinn finally are getting slotted into the single pack assortment of Wave 3 coming in May. So hopefully in May we will all have our Data Vipers and Quinns.
And the two quick things. Specifically on the Cobra Commander, there will be 2 heads. There will be the hooded version or a hooded copy of the head and then a helmeted copy of the head.
Yep.
I believe they said vac metal.
Yep.
A lot of vac metal going around. I thought that was bad for the environment.
I know. I don't know what's up with that.
I don't know. Coincidence? I don't know. Anyways, but that's the Cobra Commander. But when it came to Data Viper and it came to Quinn, he said on a number of occasions, he and Daryl, when he was doing the presentation, we listened to the fans. The fans have been wanting these. We kept hearing the fans. We were down doing the press tour around each one of the stations, and he specifically said, because of you guys, pointing to Justin and us as fans, you guys, this is why this figure continued to be on the plate and continued to make its way and eventually, formally work its way into a wave now. So
I don't buy it. Daryl just wants a Quinn.
You're just a skeptical person. You can put you on Moderately Geeky. They'll like you there.
Daryl's just selfish. He wants those figures for himself.
Of course he does. So they specifically said that they are, they have the fans and are listening to the fans in mind. And I guess that is segue to the next bit of news. Did we cover everything out of the way?
Well, there was Wave 4 that they kind of mentioned as well, which is going to have a lot of carry-forward figures. That was a big topic of Daryl's conversation for some reason.
Hard-to-find figures.
Yeah, figures that are hard to find. They want to try to recirculate them into future waves and make sure they all get saturated as much as possible. For some reason, he said the Wave 2 Firefly was...
hard to find.
Becoming exceptionally hard to find, so they're going to carry that one forward. Lady J was another one they had in that Wave 4 assortment. Also, I want to make sure fans don't panic if you don't. If there's figures you don't see in the display that you did see a joke on, like the movie accurate Red Ninja, a couple figures like that. They did mention they didn't have the room to fit every single figure out there on display. It doesn't mean they're canceled. Doesn't mean they're not coming out. They just couldn't fit them all out there.
They were tight on display. Space. I mean, the Blind Master was shoved way to the back.
Yeah.
He was. You had to get your camera up or get on your tippy toes to get a good look at him. He was way in the back. Jinx was right next to him, way in the back.
Yeah.
So they did not have a ton of room.
So yeah, if there's any figures that you saw at one point that you did not see at Toy Fair, don't necessarily think those figures are canceled. It just means that they didn't have room to stick them all out there. They wanted to focus on the stuff that we didn't know about yet, and some of the stuff that's been previously revealed, they weren't quite so worried about.
So that was Wave 4. Did we go over to Wave 4? Okay.
Yep, and that was kind of where they broke it off, was just with Wave 4. There doesn't seem to be anything post indicated wave for Wave 5 or anything post, anything after Retaliation wasn't mentioned. Somebody did bring up the whole Special Ops theme, and Daryl just said that was just a placeholder name. It was just names are sometimes floated out there where they can try to see if there's leaks coming out. Sometimes they'll put little names out there just to see if they can trace it back to anything. So do not read anything into what you see for Spec Ops.
It's your Blue Harvest, so to speak.
Yeah, it's not it's not significant of anything. Anybody who sees the box for the Tomahawk or the Eagle Hawk, you can see right on the Eagle Hawk box, there is no reference to anything called Special Ops or Spec Ops.
Which we'll talk about here.
Which, and that'll segue right into the Eagle Hawk discussion.
And that's the other thing that they've been listening to the fans, is more vintage vehicles, large vintage vehicles. Last year was the Sky Striker. This year is the
Eagle Hawk, yes.
Which is a Tomahawk. Reason why we couldn't use Tomahawk, they said to us, is that they couldn't use it because of copyright issues.
Right.
I don't know who the hell is holding the Tomahawk name now, but...
Mm-hmm. Florida State. There's your sports
There's
reference.
There's your sports reference there, geeks. Anyways, so it's Eagle Hawk is the name.
Yep.
And Justin, with your notes there, go through kind of what the improvements to the Eagle Hawk have been made over the vintage.
Sure. One thing people should realize is it's similar to the Sky Striker. It's been completely and totally newly tooled. It doesn't have any vintage parts on it. It's a completely new vehicle just designed to look a lot like the old vehicle. It's got a retooled cockpit, so it can fit the larger figures. So don't worry about cramming your modern figures in there. It's going to fit them okay. It's got totally new seats in the back. Can seat, I believe, a total of 6, 2 people in the cockpit, 4 in the back.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a working winch. It's got a
reworked winch.
A reworked winch, yeah.
Right.
It's got the ramp that opens and closes in the back. It's got the chin gun underneath that swivels and rotates up and down and does all sorts of cool stuff. It's got, machine guns in the cargo area. You can actually take off the guns that are in the cargo area and replace them with other ones. It comes with liftic. It comes with removable headsets for the crew, which is really cool. It comes with, you know, the rotors have always been kind of a pain. I know I've got, I hate to say it, my vintage Tomahawk, I've got at least one glued rotor on that bad boy, and this one is really cool. It's actually got rotors that fold in and collapse, so you can not only avoid breaking them, but you can also store the vehicle a lot more easily without worrying about those
Very
rotors.
Similar to what they do on an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
They just kind of fold up, so.
Yeah, but the paint.
And it would look really well on the flag.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
The paint scheme was really nice, very vintage accurate, you know, the shades of brown camouflage. Liftik, it looked like he was made up of some Data Viper / Sergeant Airborne parts, kind of off the top of my head. Didn't look really like the vintage Liftik, but that's okay, we've kind of got a vintage accurate one anyway already.
Definitely more real military look for him.
Yes, absolutely. But I don't know what else. Anybody who owns the vintage Tomahawk, you know, from what I can see, you're going to get pretty much the same thing with this one, only redesigned for the newer figures, which is great. The Tomahawk's always been one of my favorite vehicles, and I'm really psyched to see that they were able to get that out there for the modern figures.
$39.99,
correct.
It's going to be part of the movie line, that will actually have the movie logo on it.
Well, kind of. I was looking at the box again. It actually, it's modified a little bit. It's got the same color scheme as the movie, but it's got the same logo that we have on the Microforce, which is basically just the G.I. Joe logo with a little throwing star. Yeah, it doesn't say Retaliation on it anywhere. But it's
using the movie, it's like that movie font, right?
Yeah, the movie font and like the color scheme, the kind of that orangish color scheme. It fits right in with the movie stuff pretty well, but logo's a little bit different.
Asked Daryl specifically about San Diego Comic-Con. There was nothing in the past, we've normally seen Comic-Con exclusives shown here.
Yes.
As far as I know, there were no Comic-Con exclusives shown for any line.
Correct, yep.
Right.
There were teases that like in the Star Wars, you'll see more stuff at Comic-Con.
Right.
There was nothing for any one of the lines.
Yeah.
I asked Daryl about that. He said JoeCon.
Yep.
He indicated at least one item.
Yeah.
So that's all I know. That's all we know.
In times past, judging by what Daryl said to Gary, in times past, you know, obviously there's been carded figures and like the big Transformers and G.I. Joe set. From the sounds of it, we may just get one or the other, not both. I don't know which one or the other we're going to get. I don't know if it's going to be another Transformers G.I. Joe set or if it's going to be something else. But from the sounds of what Daryl was saying, there is definitely something for Comic-Con, but it's only going to be one thing. It's not going to be a couple different things like we've seen in the past.
We'd be remiss to neglect the 12-inch Joes that we saw for the movie line. There will be some 12-inch, very limited articulation Joes. Three or four of them, Roadblock, Storm Shadow, and Snake Eyes at least, that I remember seeing.
There's those three. The interesting thing was that even though they're being marketed as G.I. Joe Retaliation 12-inch figures, the Snake Eyes was very clearly the Pursuit of Cobra Wave 3 Snake Eyes with that web gear, and Storm Shadow was based on that G.I. Joe Renegade Storm Shadow. You know, that quote-unquote Ultimate Storm Shadow looked very much like those.
But very, very limited articulation.
Yes,
nothing
totally.
Like any of the
exactly.
other 12-inch figures that we've seen. It's almost like they blew up a Star Wars figure.
Exactly.
The old Star Wars vintage figures, and they blew them up to 12 inches.
Star Wars has something very similar, and they said in the presentation to the collectors, this is for the kids, this is for the international, where 12-inch is a big deal. Here it is. And then just kind of brushed right over it when right into the other stuff. So they know that's not, you know, with Sideshow and Hot Toys, we're not the main market for that.
Right.
The other rumor that we've seen already online, and maybe do we want to try to clarify it, is the presence of Hasbro at JoeCon.
Yeah, and it's, you know, from judging, I think Fran over at His Tank was mentioning it, and I was standing right there when he was having this conversation with Daryl, and I don't know if it's miscommunication, but the gist that Fran seemed to get from the conversation was that Hasbro was not going to have a display at JoeCon at all. They were just going to do a slideshow presentation, and that was it. That's not quite the impression I got. I got that they weren't necessarily going to have a whole lot of new stuff. It was going to be just mostly what we saw here already.
Mm-hmm.
But like Gary said, I think they're showing off the Comic-Con exclusive at JoeCon. I think there is some stuff they are showing, so I believe there will still be a display there. I mean, I don't know that for sure.
We probably won't get the vault. We won't get, you know, some of the pre-production stuff. They only showed that because the movie delay.
Yeah.
We won't get a look inside for a long time.
I asked Daryl if he was going to be an indie. Now, he also is a fan, so... I didn't ask him in what capacity he was showing up to Indy.
Right.
I just asked if he was coming to Indy. He said he was coming to Indy.
Yeah.
I believe...
Didn't he say John Warden was going to be there too, he thought? Or did
I can't recall if he named another name.
I think he did.
Okay.
I think he did.
I also remember hearing that at least somebody from Hunter PR will probably be in Indianapolis. Yep. So that leads me to believe there's going to be some Hasbro presence at JoeCon, and whether it's just we're seeing what we're going to see again, right, in addition to San Diego Comic-Con stuff. Okay, there could be that. Often, Justin was explaining to me as I was asking questions about what are we going to see at Toy Fair. What we're seeing is kind of the first half of the year, right here, right?
Yeah,
and in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I mean, typically what Toy Fair shows you is the first half to three quarters of the year. They'll often hint about other stuff coming throughout either this year or next year, like Transformers. We got a little peek into 2014 plans. It was a little bit disconcerting that they didn't have anything really for G.I. Joe to mention beyond four waves of movie product. It was a little bit disconcerting, I won't lie about that. But, sometimes they will leave some stuff to reveal at Comic-Con and in future shows.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I expect to see some stuff at JoeCon and maybe even some stuff at Comic-Con, yep, going into the second half of this year. I also think the success of the movie has a big thing to do with that.
True.
You could tell that the movie is being positively received by Hasbro and by the team because, yep, according to Daryl, again, this is on stage, and we got the audio recording of this, the design of the raft and the creation of the raft was inspired by, I guess they've seen those early clips of the Cobra Special Forces that just recently came out.
Recruiting video,
With the voice of the guy that was it, David Keith or Keith David? I can't forget his name. Nice guy, but he does the voice of the Navy commercials for U.S. Navy, and he had his voice on that. And they showed some Cobra troopers getting pulled out of the water onto a raft, and that was inspired. The toy raft, obviously, was inspired from that. So I think good things could happen post movie, provided the movie does well. And everything that I've been led to believe by everyone's attitude is that the movie is going to do well despite the little delay.
Indeed. Yeah, I mean, that was one thing that Daryl, I mean, obviously, yes, this was kind of a sales presentation, but the 3D market, while it's not such a big deal here in the U.S., it's pretty big nation or pretty big worldwide. So the conversion to 3D could mean good things for the international box office. So considering the rise of Cobra, even as it stood, pretty much was equal with domestic box office compared to international. If Retaliation could do even better in rational business, then, maybe it'll be a good thing.
I mean, for stuff we've already seen, Daryl did say it was like we're in a slow period because there's stuff they can't show us just yet.
Right.
It is what it is. But there were still some cool surprises out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
I don't think anybody was expecting anything like that Budo that they showed.
Or any Wave 2 Creons, right, or anything like that. They didn't touch much on Microforce, but they did have Microforce on display.
Yeah, they had the Wave 1 stuff on display, but yeah, they didn't talk much about anything.
Really, I think we covered just about everything they showed. And then they had a TV there constantly showing the trailers of the movie over and over and over, so that was good. And the nice thing that Hasbro was able to do was they actually had the Eagle Hawk Tomahawk hanging from the ceiling, and they cut that down and brought it down to kid level, so to speak, so we could actually get a closer look at that. So we want to thank them.
Daryl was very accommodating, flipping boxes around, and he made sure he said that, no, you guys deserve to see this stuff. I want to show this to you. And, because the Tomahawk was all tied up with fish line, and we tried to, somebody asked if it could be taken down, and he kind of looked up, and he was like, yeah, sure. And we were like, well, it's tied up there pretty good, Daryl. He's like, oh, no. And he went and got somebody who actually cut it down, and he brought it down, and a lot of people are kind of take pictures around it and stuff, which is really cool.
I want to thank you guys at Hasbro for putting on a good show and being very hospitable, answering just about every question, I believe, that was thrown at them, giving as much of their time as possible. The guys from Hunter, very nice, very accommodating.
Joe, Mike, Justin, all those other folks were terrific. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even the security, they saw us geeks coming with our cameras and we try to move, but they got to make sure we're hands off too.
Yeah, it's no touching, just like going to a strip club.
just exactly like I was standing there looking at all the G.I. Joe toys, and this is just like going to the strip club.
I had a dollar for Daryl, and he gave me his business card return.
Anyway. I think we got a twin made.
That was a lot of work for Justin. That pretty much wraps it up for Toy Fair, or actually, what's on Joe Mine's coverage of Toy Fair 2013. We'll undoubtedly be talking about this in our next recorded episode, which will be 73, I believe. If not, it's 74. And we will wrap up with that. You'll probably hear us on some other podcasts talking about it as well, so keep your ears open. You might hear some additional comments from us on other podcasts as well. But I want to thank P-Love for joining us.
Thank you, P-Love.
Glad to be here.
I want to thank Justin for encouraging me for the last couple of years to come out to this thing. It's definitely, despite the weekend and the blizzard and everything, it was a hell of a venture, and I'm going to do it next year, so thank you.
Excellent.
And all you guys for being patient and sending us questions to ask and things to look for. So with that, we're out of here. You have a good night. We'll catch you on the next episode.
See you later.
Bye. Make it there, I'll make it. Anywhere, it's up to you. New York.